Four-man rush. Fields has time. Watches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State. A deep strike, and the Buckeyes stretch the lead again. 56 yards. Wow.
Because of the day when they say we are, we say we are the Buckeyes.
The handoff by Hoynes to George in a foot race, and he gets away. George is gone. Eddie George putting up more Heisman Trophy numbers.
Offensive line gives Troy plenty of time. Goes deep, Ken's wide open. Wide open, folks. Touchdown. Here we go. Get out the adding machine. We're underway.
It doesn't stop being average. It begins to be elite when you can cross the line. Today is that kind of day.
Wharton Schlager to the sideline, caught. First down. Woo!
What a hit. Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Don't let that team stand in the way. No way!
Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks!
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass, and big news this week, Big Cass. Ohio State is building a lacrosse stadium.
That's the big news. That's the big news.
It is not that, you know, Ohio State has a new quarterback in town, C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, going back to the lacrosse stadium, it looks the infrastructure is going to look so beautiful. The Ohio State's engineers and people who make the blueprint, they're just geniuses and brilliant, because this stadium's going to look better than some high school football stadiums.
Yeah, it's going to be like – it's going to hold, I think, like 2,000 people. Looks really nice, but
yeah.
We have bigger fish to fry. C.J. Stroud is the quarterback, Big Cass. I mean, I don't think we didn't see this coming from a mile away. I think a lot of people – we're predicting this, but the quarterback controversy is over. C.J. Stroud, QB1. The question is, who's going to be the backup? That battle's still on the way.
I'm sorry if you hear dogs barking, birds chirping. I'm outside in a camper in Loudonville, Ohio right now. But I'm predicting that one guy is definitely transferring this year, and I wouldn't be shocked by if he doesn't do it by the end of before the season starts. I mean, it may still be too late in the game, but I'm pretty sure the backup quarterback battle job is going to be Kyle McCord's, just because he's been there longer. I don't know what the plan for Quinn Ewers is going to be. I know there are he's 25 practices, you know, down from possibly competing. He's been in at Ohio State for a week, but doesn't mean he can't compete for that backup quarterback job. I think Jack Miller is as good as gone. That's just my humble opinion. And I've been hearing rumblings that Arizona State and UCLA could be possible landing spots for Jack Miller.
Arizona.
Arizona. Cause that's where he's from. And I look at him. I think the best fit would be either Arizona State or UCLA. Especially UCLA, because unless they get rid of Chip Kelly, just because he's a Chip Kelly type of quarterback. But if you didn't think that Stroud was going to be the starting quarterback, you could have made an argument about Kyle McCord. But I think this way everybody was talking in practice, that just how mobile he is, and a Ryan Day's offense, you need to be mobile. And it didn't matter, I think, who started between Kyle McCord and C.J. Stroud. I just thought, you know, the offensive line depth was just going to be, you know, helpful anyways. But and the wide receivers and the running backs. So if you're a starting quarterback this year, you've got a great golden opportunity to be a Heisman candidate just because, like, who is blocking for you, who's going to be catching passes, and who's going to be running for you. And C.J. Stroud had been separating himself, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do on the field.
Yeah, I mean, like, it really isn't a surprise that Stroud is the starter based on what we saw last year in the Sugar Bowl when, you know, Fields goes down, first guy they call in is Stroud. We watched the spring game. Stroud was easily, you know, the best guy when you watch the spring game. McCord flashed. I mean, I'm not going to lie, McCord was exciting with a couple bombs. Miller didn't really stand out, unfortunately. And I do agree. I think he is going to be the one that's going to transfer. And then Ewers, he hasn't been here long enough. So I don't think even if Ewers was here months ago, I still don't think he was beating out Stroud. I think we're going to have a situation, unfortunately, where it's going to be Joe Burrow 2.0, where, you know, one or two of these guys is going to transfer and they're going to light it up wherever they go. And, you know, I mean, I'm going to wish them success when they do that. And I'm sure they will light it up because they're, you know, Ohio State doesn't recruit scrubs, but it's just going to, it's going to be frustrating when we see, you know, Jack Miller go to, like, you know, UCLA and throw for, you know, 30 touchdowns in the Pac-12. And everyone's going to be like, ooh, Ohio State let the talent go. And it's like, no, that's not true. It's just, you know, the best players play.
Yeah, exactly. And good prime example, people are saying, oh, they let Joe Burrow go. The year that we let Joe Burrow go, Haskins threw for 50 touchdowns, and Joe Burrow had an average season. So it wasn't like that, you know, we let Joe Burrow walk and he had a spectacular first season. It was we let Joe Burrow left because he knew the direction Ohio State was going, and Haskins threw for 50 touchdowns. And in Burrow's second season, yeah, that's when he lit it up at LSU. But people forget that Justin Fields had 42 touchdowns and one interception.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like Ohio State just let these guys walk. That's the dumb narrative about college football fans that don't know diddly squat
In 2018, Burrow had a 57.8 completion percentage, only threw for 2,800 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions, and he ran for 7 touchdowns. That's not even close to what Haskins did. And obviously, you know, Burrow did have the Heisman season the next season, but, like, Fields wasn't a scrub that season. Fields, like, no, you said, he was he a threw Heisman, one interception.
He was sitting next to Burrow in New York. Like, come on, Lyle. Like, that's the thing. And, the quarterback situation in Ohio State is great. I mean, we've got three 5-star guys in that quarterback room and a 4-star guy. I mean, every team in the Big Ten right now, all four of these guys would be starting day one for a Big Ten school. I don't care what anybody says. And I'm talking schools like Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin. I mean, I know they got Graham Mertz up there, but the bigger schools in the Big Ten, these four guys, all four of them would be starting for the bigger schools, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any school where, you know, our guys wouldn't. Maybe Minnesota, because I mean their quarterback's been there so long.
Well, and Indiana.
Yeah, I'd say Indiana too.
Penix Jr. and possibly Penn State. I did say Penn State, but you know Sean Clifford's been there. We've got a fun season. I think the Big Ten. And we'll get more into this next week when we, you know, preview the season and preview the Big Ten. But I think Penn State's going to be the most improved football team in the Big Ten this year. That's just because I think last year was a fluke for some teams.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Penn State definitely being, you know, rebounding. I still think Indiana's the good team in the Big Ten East, other than, you know, obviously Ohio State. I think Rutgers will surprise some people this year. I'm going out on that limb. But I mean,
Vegas has Indiana right now at eight wins. And I was listening to the Zach Smith podcast, and the guy he brought on there that's from Vegas, I think that he goes by Joker, said that take the under with Indiana. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's hard to Indiana right now. Yeah, they on paper they look like they're going to be a beast, but it's the factor that Penn State's going to be out for revenge, and I don't know what Michigan's going to bring, but they'll be out for revenge. When it'll be interesting, and they play Cincinnati this year. It'd be interesting to see what Indiana does when they go to Happy Valley. I know that for sure.
Speaking of Vegas, Cass, I was actually in Vegas a week ago for a bachelor party, and I went to a sports book to look at the Heisman futures, and it was very interesting. Obviously, you know, you got Spencer Rattler as the favorite, Bryce Young, DJ Uiagalelei, basically a ton of, like, you know, the well-known favorites. CJ Stroud was a 16-1 odds, you know, near the top, but not a clear-cut favorite. But I will say Ohio State had so many guys on this list, that you could actually bet on. They had Master Teague, 75-1. They had Chris Olave. I believe he was 60-1. Garrett Wilson, 100-1. Jack Miller, 60-1. Oh, no. Chris Olave was 125-1. He was 125-1. Garrett Wilson was 100-1. Jack Miller was 60-1, which is crazy for a backup. And they also had Travion Henderson, and he was something kind of low. Really low. I don't have the exact numbers. I'm looking at it right now. I think it was like 125-1. But Ohio State had like five or six guys on the list. I mean, that's more than most teams. And I think that's just a testament to the depth and the talent of this offense. When you have, you know, 5 to 6 guys that are actually, you can actually bet on to win the Heisman, that's a good sign for your offense right there.
Yeah, and that's why this week we're going to preview the offense, and that's a good leading point to talk about how good this offense is going to be. And like I said earlier, it didn't matter. I mean, I knew Stroud was going to be the guy. If you didn't know Stroud was going to be the guy, then you were.
You haven't been paying attention. If you did not believe Stroud was going to be the guy, you have been fed too much propaganda from 11 Warriors and Buckeye Scoop and all. Like, it wasn't that hard to figure out. It really wasn't.
And if you thought that Quinn Ewers was going to come in day one after missing 10 practices, missing all of spring, and think he was going to be the guy, then you were dumb. You don't know football. Like, the fact that, yes, Quinn Ewers is a generational talent. If you put on the high school tape,
yeah, you put on the high school tape.
He came to Ohio State. Come on now, people, Langer's off and understand football. This kid came in. He has a possible chance to make $1 million, and he knows he's going to redshirt. He knew.
I mean, it's just too, like, last year, when we went down to the rally and we're talking Tennessee Jeff, and like what Tennessee Jeff was telling us about CJ Stroud, just, you know, he's basically Deshaun Watson 2.0. He's a real deal. He had nice things to say about Miller, but like when you mentioned CJ Stroud, his eyes lit up, and it's a bit like people have been high on CJ Stroud since last year, before, you know, we even had a season last year. So, and then we see him, you know, playing the Sugar Bowl. When Fields goes down, it's been clear cut almost. I mean, I know Ryan Day does a good job of, you know, creating the atmosphere of competition, a good culture and all that. And he doesn't want to reveal his hand too early, but it is, you know, what are we?
10 days away.
10 days. Yeah, I can't even count. 10 days away from the season. So it's time to name a starter. Shroud's a starter.
It just depends when you're listening to this, because we're recording and there's 11 days. Once we get it up, and possibly when you're listening, it's 10 days. So
I've figured out everyone's countdown to the season's wrong, because some people are counting the day of the game as like –
which I do.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Some people are counting the day of the game as like the day. Some people are doing it the day before. Everyone's countdowns are all like janked up, and it's kind of funny to watch. Like some people will have like you know, it'll be like Ezekiel Elliott day, but then someone will have like the KJ Hill day, and then someone will somehow have Kenny Guyton day. It's crazy how like we can't do math.
Well, here's the thing. I did math because I looked it up on Google. How many days till this day?
Yeah.
So that's how I got – when I started this countdown, that's how I knew, okay, when I started it was Terry Glenn, 83 days. That's how long I've been counting down for this, 83 days. So I went from how many days till September 2nd, 83 days, and then I go 82, you know, so on. Like today.
Yeah.
Again, well, for me, I'm just not choosing one guy. Like I've been choosing – all the greats. And I'm going to have a lot of fun on Thursday when I do number 7. I know that for a fact. It's going to take me an hour just to make the post.
Ted Ginn.
Damon Webb.
The great.
Jamel Hines. Joey Galloway. Chris Gamble. Cornelius Green. Just... the list, there's going to be like 14 guys.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this offense. Let's talk about this offense. Talk about the Vegas odds. The most interesting one was we're going to talk about the running backs. We've already explained the quarterbacks, you know. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the running backs. It was quite interesting to see that Master Teague was the higher Vegas odds for the Heisman for the running backs when the fact that he hasn't taken a according to 97.1, Dave Biddle, he first team.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't. But my question I pose to that cast is: does he really need the first team reps at this point? He's a senior running back.
It is get the time.
I think we lost you there, Cass, for a second.
I don't even play a lot. I mean, could we have a tack? Good?
Yeah, we're good. We lost you there for a second.
Okay. That's all right. It happens. Spotty signal up here. But like I said, you know, you couldn't ask for three better running backs to be in this offense. I mean, they all bring a totally different style. Master Teague's that big north and south runner that once he hits the secondary, he's going to put a burst of speed. Mayan Williams is big and shifty and will run you over. And then Travion Henderson, I mean, it's a matter of time when Travion Henderson's going to really explode. My question is, could we have a 1,000-yard rusher, 800-yard rusher, and two 800-yard rushers this year? I mean, it just all depends what this offense is going to do.
I mean, it's when you look at these three running backs, it's nice. I mean, everyone's still really excited about Mayan Williams, who's now going by the nickname Chop. He is no longer Meatball. He is Chop. I love that. But I mean, I'm excited to see Mayan this year. I'm really high on Mayan. Travion's going to do things that, you know, most of our guys can't do. He's more of like the, you know, the speed guy, the pass catching guy. So he's going to carve out a role, I think. And then Teague, he's all reliable. We know what we're going to get from him. It's not flashy. It's not exciting, but you know what? When it's a cold day in November, we can just give him the rock, and he's going to get, you know, 4 or 5 yards a pop, north and south, nothing flashy.
Yeah.
And you know what? People didn't love Teague, but I mean, in the national championship, he didn't play too bad. I think he was pretty serviceable. Teague's issue is just he's not flashy. He's not exciting, but he gets the job done for the most part. I mean, he could definitely be. A little more explosive, but I got no problems with Master Teague.
I don't have any problems with any of them. I mean, we're not even mentioning Marcus Crowley and Evan Pryor, who've all also had big spring, big fall camps. And Ryan Day just loves this running back room, and so does Tony Alford. And I mean, how can you not? All five guys are very serviceable. I mean, obviously the big three in Williams and Teague and Henderson. My opinion, I want to see Henderson and Evan Pryor return kickoffs. Like, that would be
– yeah.
I think that would be a lot of fun. Obviously, it probably won't happen. But, I mean, anybody but DeMario McCall, in my opinion. But yeah, like, this running back room is so deep. And, I mean, it's obviously not the deepest room on the offense.
Yeah, and then obviously we got Stroud at quarterback. Backup quarterback is to be determined. I think we're in agreement. It's probably going to be McCord. Ewers, third string. Miller's probably gone. Tight end's interesting because obviously we have Ruckert. Ruckert's, you know, obviously numero uno. No questions asked.
Mackey award-winning.
First round pick. Yeah.
Yeah. Ruckert's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year because I think we're going to utilize the tight ends a lot. I mean, it's going to be really hard to get everybody the ball, but we know what Ruckert can bring. It's the other two guys that I can't wait to see, Cade Stover and G. Scott Jr. I mean,
yeah.
Totally two different type of tight ends. You got a guy that's going to remind you of Kellen Winslow Jr. If you go turn on that 2002 national championship game with Miami, that Kellen Winslow Jr. guy is going to be G. Scott.
Yeah.
Guy can run obviously he's a wide receiver converting over to tight end. By the way, G. Scott has not missed a Mickey Marotti workout since he's stepped foot on Columbus.
He's huge.
So I think all in all, like, Cade Stover looks like the guy. Yeah, he's going to catch. He's going to be like the Luke Farrell and Jeff Heuermann type. He's going to go in there and do those nasty blocks. And then occasionally he's going to bust one catch for a big yardage.
Yeah.
That's what Stover is going to be.
Yeah. Stover's your stereotypical Ohio State tight end. He's going to get like seven catches a season for three touchdowns and like 40 yards, three touchdowns. Like he's just going to make a couple big plays. G. Scott Jr., though, I mean, I'm so excited. Dude kind of looks like a mini Chase Young, the way he's been working out. Like, he – and then you add the fact that he's a great receiving threat, but, you know, he's going to be lining up at tight end. It's just going to come down to, you know, how he's transitioning in the run blocking game. But, I mean, you've seen the amount of weight he's put on. I think, you know, he's gonna fit in nicely. It's going to be interesting to see how they use him this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like, you know, like I said, going back to the Cade Stover, like seven catches for 40 yards. And I'm going to go four touchdowns in the red zone just because he's going to be that red zone threat. But what you're not going to see on the stat line is those pull lead blocks. Like, yeah. Jeff Heuermann did during the national championship run was deeply it. Just Luke Farrell did for J.K. Dobbins. That's what Cade Stover is going to bring to the offense, is that hard-hitting blocking ability.
Absolutely. And then we get into the fun part, man. Before we touch the offensive line, the receivers. I mean, this receiving room just so filthy. Obviously, at the X, we got Garrett Wilson. At the Z, we got Chris Olave. At the slot, we got JSN, Jackson Smith, and Jigba. And then it kind of gets a little nuts. At the X, behind Wilson, we got Marvin Harrison Jr. At the Z, behind Olave, Julian Fleming. At the slot, Emeka Abuka Jr. Unreal.
Don't forget Cameron Babb's still there.
Captain Cameron Babb. Captain.
Yeah. Is it Jalen Ballard? Is that his name? Jalen Ballard?
I believe he's no longer with the program.
Ballard? Oh, okay. I mean, enough said. I mean, we know what Wilson Olave is going to bring you. We already know. Smith and Jigba I think he had a great freshman season. Julian Fleming and they are raving about Julian Fleming.
Jaden Ballard is still with the program. He's still here.
Julian Fleming, they are raving about Julian Fleming this offseason.
Yeah.
He's finally healthy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem is there's too many guys and not enough balls to go around. I would like to see, I think you got to obviously play, you play Olave and Wilson as much as you can, JSN too, and then Fleming. Fleming has to get in the rotation too. You have to get him on the field. With receivers, it's more like your top four guys you've got to find a role for. I don't think Ohio State has really had an issue with that in the past, especially with Ryan Day's offenses. He needs a lot of receivers. I mean, you look at the 2019 team where we had, Ben Victor, KJ Hill, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson got time. I'm missing someone else too.
Austin Mack.
Austin Mack, yeah. I mean, we had five strong.
Go back to 2017. I was watching the Penn State game. We had Johnny Dixon, Ben Victor. We had KJ Hill. We had Austin Mack. We had
Paris Campbell.
We had a boatload of wide receivers that.
Terry McLaurin,
yeah. Like, the list goes on and on. And I think the rotation, and this is why we beat teams in November, because the depth. We just keep trotting wide receivers out there. It makes DBs have problems. And even going back and watching the Alabama game, how Alabama beat us was they won.
They had Waddle. They had Smith. They had Mechie.
They
had that one white guy who's pretty good.
Yeah, Alabama had so much depth on offense that they scored every time. They scored every time they had the ball. And they kept our offense off the field with Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ohio State's offense put 24 points up on Alabama, and I think they scored almost every drive, but maybe a couple.
Yeah, I think they didn't score on like two drives. If you look at the formula, that's the formula in college football these days. You just need to have a ton of wide receivers. Running backs that can keep the defense off on the field, and I mean that's the formula, man. Absolutely.
But you have to have one of these, and that's a great offensive line, and that's going to be like the preview. We've seen so many rotations, what they've been trying to do, whether it's Luke Weipler starting at center and Harry Miller at guard. But what we've seen the most in the past 2 weeks. Is this lineup, and that's what Dan has. Dan can provide you this lineup.
Which are we going, the one with DeWand?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the big one that they've been, like, really talking about.
For the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, the past, like, 2 weeks, this lineup's monstrous. It's basically DeWan Jones would be at left tackle where Thayer is. They move Thayer to left guard. And then from my understanding, they're going to have Harry Miller at center. That could change, though. It could be Luke Weipler or Matthew Jones at the center position. That could change really quick. Right guard, Paris Johnson. And right tackle, Nicholas Petet-Ferrari, NPF, our boy. Just that lineup. Just when you have DeWan Jones and Thayer on the same – and then Paris Johnson, NPF – the power of that off, and then obviously the center, it matters, but it really doesn't at that point, because we just have basically four tackles playing on the offensive line.
Well, and Harry Miller is a very smart guy. He got a 4.0 at Ohio State. He's a very good musician, and he's a smart kid. He struggled a little bit when he did have to go in there and play center when Josh Myers was down last year. And I mean, Harry, he had growing pains last year. He was a redshirt freshman, or a sophomore. He's a first-year starter. I think he's going to be a lot better. You could throw any but you have to get your best five guys out there. Those, in my opinion, those five guys are your best five guys. There's hands down.
I agree.
I was talking to our boy Jamie Sumner, offensive line. I was like, "What do you think of this?" He's like, "I don't see any defensive line in the Big Ten, at least, that can handle the redwood trees." He's like, "Those dudes are huge." He's like, "I think the smallest guy's maybe 6'4". Everybody's over 6'5". I might be wrong on that, but especially with DeJuan Jones, like DeJuan Jones is your typical funny big teddy bear offensive lineman that would just smash you on the field.
Yeah. The only concern I've seen about that rotation, I saw it brought up on Twitter, and it's actually a really good point. When we did something kind of similar in 2018 when we had Haskins at quarterback, and the issue was like we couldn't really run the ball well because we weren't blowing people off the ball. Now, I don't see, though, how we don't blow people off the ball when we have DeJuan Jones and Paris Johnson and Thayer Mumford and NPF, just monsters. I don't understand how we won't blow people off the ball. But basically, people are concerned that if we go basically four tackles across the board on the line, that we won't be able to blow people off the ball.
Let me tell you about that year. We had freshman Thayer Mumford, well, sophomore. That whole offensive line was kind of young when it comes to game play, because we had just lost in 2017 Jamarco Jones. We lost so many guys on the offensive line that we had to shift Michael Jordan to center. So, like, that year, I think this is different because all five of those guys have played significant time in college football. Yeah, it was, even in the Sugar Bowl, we had Paris Johnson playing guard when Wyatt Davis went down. Yeah,
pancaking, like five-star, caliber talent with Clemson. I mean,
and Paris Johnson will be a first top 10 pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I mean, he's a monster. What I love about this offensive line, TJ Downing, when we had him on, he always preaches, have a pair and you got to have a spare. And this offensive line, that's the beauty of this team. We have so much depth. We have if Harry Miller starts, we still have Luke Whipler and Matthew Jones, that can come in and basically play on any position. We have, Enoch Vihami, who's a great player. Donovan Jackson, who's, also a really good player. We have so many guys that can come in and, God forbid someone gets injured. I mean, it's probably going to happen, unfortunately. But we have guys that can come in and easily, pick up the slack, which is a great thing to see. And Matthew Jones, I'm watching him last year. I mean, he was a really good player when he played in the Clemson game in Michigan State. So I have like a ton of confidence in Matthew Jones. DeJuan Jones. I mean, we're loaded. It's beautiful. It's this offense. The depth is insane. Literally the only question is how good it can Stroud be. That's really it. This offense will go as far as CJ Stroud will take them. And that's a good thing. It could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing. I'm not sure. I believe in Stroud. I think, we're high believers in Stroud, but it's going to go as far as number seven can take us. And yeah, I'm sure he's up for the challenge.
Interesting point here. I'm kind of stealing this. I forget who it's from, but I think it was a friend of mine we were talking about at work. Think about the first year's Ryan Day, since he's been at Ohio State, first year starting quarterbacks and what they have done. Both of them were in New York and was a runner up, was a semifinalist for the Heisman. So Ryan Day knows what he's doing and knows what he's got. So, I mean, put your trust in Ryan Day. Justin Fields and Dwayne Haskins were in New York, had record-breaking seasons. as a first year starter. Now, am I saying CJ Stroud's a Justin Fields and a Dwayne Haskins? No, but that proves my point right there.
Yeah, it's the offense is gonna, I think, won't be an issue at all. I think we're set up for, you know, another great season. The only thing that can stop us at this point is Kevin Warren.
Because it won't be COVID, because apparently the whole team is vaccinated. So
hopefully, I mean, the Big Ten never ceases to amaze me.
It's too late in the game to cancel now.
So. You know what? Don't challenge Kevin Warren. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. So,
I was going to segue. Cass, you have your rankings you want to do.
So Madden just came out, and we all know this was it spring. They announced that with all the NIL stuff, that NCAA football 2023, they're saying, it's going to come out. And so I came up with Ohio State NCAA ratings as the Madden ratings. And people, you can yell at me all you want, but I'm trying to be as realistic as possible on some of these. So, I mean, some of them might need to be jacked up a little bit, but I'm being realistic. So here is your Ohio State NCAA/Madden ratings. And don't hate me, players, if you actually happen to listen to this and say, why am I this, you know? But we're going to start with the quarterback situation. I'm going to, as this game has just, like, Madden has been just been released, and this dude won't be on the game because he got late into the, you know, he was late into the season. So Quinn Ewers is not on this game because he had just shown up, and the game production has already been finished by the time, you know what I mean?
We can't update the roster.
I mean, we could. I just don't know what the proper rating would be for a Quinn Ewers.
Okay, that's fair. NA, so, not applicable.
Yeah. So here's the quarterbacks. I had Jack Miller at 83, Kyle McCord at 84, just because he's not as mobile. And then I had CJ Stroud as an 86, which his arm strength isn't as strong as Kyle McCord's, but he might be a little bit more accurate than McCord, but he's faster than McCord. But this, I did these rankings before they announced CJ Stroud as the starter. So, and it's a fair, in my opinion, first year starter, first year game. Yeah, 86 is a fair rating for CJ Stroud.
I would say so.
Now, here's the tricky part where I might get a lot of crap for running backs. I had Master Teague as an 89, Mayan Williams, 85, Travion Henderson, 84. Evan Pryor in 83 and Marcus Crowley in 83.
I think that's fair. Maybe Pryor and Crowley like an 82, just because I think there's a gap between them and Henderson. But
I thought about bumping Mayan Williams to
86.
86 and Henderson to an 85.
Yeah, I would say do that. I mean, that makes more sense.
Wide receivers, obviously Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. Chris Olave is one of the few, one of the couple 99s we have on this
team.
Has
to be a 99.
Yeah, Chris Olave is a 99. Garrett Wilson a 97. And then there is a little bit of a drop off because of how good those guys are. I'm not saying Jackson Smith and Jigba don't deserve a 90 rating, but he's right at 89.
Yeah.
Fleming, 86. Marvin Harrison, 83. Emeka Buka, 83. And Jaden Ballard at 81.
That's about right.
Tight ends. And this is a huge drop-off, too, because we don't know what Scott and Stover are actually going to do. We've been hearing in practice. But Jeremy Rucker, a 94. Cade Stover and G. Scott, I did have him 80s, but I bumped him up to 82, 83.
Yeah, I would say low 80s. That's might be being a little too generous right now because we don't know what we're going to get.
Right. Offensive line, Thayer Munford. I had a 96, but I bumped him up to a 98 when I found out that he moved to a guard. That gives him a little bit more versatility. versatility.
Yeah.
Paris Johnson and 88. Because I'm just going down. I don't know what the lineup's going to be day one. I mean, we could predict what it could be, but I'm just going down to what I think could be. Paris Johnson at 88, Harry Miller at 89, Nicholas Petit-Frere at 93, DeJuan Jones at 89, Matthew Jones at 85, Donovan Jackson at 83, Luke Weipler at 85.
I like it. Like, I got no complaints about that.
Now we're going on the defense. Next week we are going to preview the defense. It's a little bit more trickier than doing the offense. But defensive ends, I had Tyreek Smith at 92, Zach Harrison at 94. Let me tell you about Zach Harrison. People need to get off his back.
People
are calling him a bust. People calling him, he's not that good. He's not. People watch film on Zach Harrison. He made Tyreek Smith blow up in the Sugar Bowl, and he made Haskell Garrett finally have his breakout season last year because he draws so much attention. He draws so many double teams. That's why Zach Harrison's so good. Guess what? He made all those guys better. He's going to have less double teams this year. I will mark that down. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, I had an 89. Tyler Friday, I feel bad for him. I still have him on the depth chart, but right now he's going to be on the IR. He's out
IR.
For the 88, Jack Sawyer, 86, and JT Tuimoloau. Got it right because I've been practicing for like ages. I've sent a bunch of people Snapchats learning his name. I have him as an 86. Sawyer and JTT, obviously, you know how when you're playing and you every time you have to update the rosters, their ratings will get up higher.
Yeah.
Defensive tackles, Haskell Garrett at 99. I have Antoine Jackson and Teron Vincent both at 90s.
Really?
I think both of them are going to be very good. Ty Hamilton, 85. Noah Potter, 84. And Jerron Cage, 82. I mean, that's how I feel. the one outside linebacker position, Terada Mitchell, I had an 88. Captain Terada Mitchell, by the way.
Captain.
Pelea, the kid from USC, it's a star.
Yeah, he's still not eligible, though, so I don't know how we're going to do this.
I put asterisks on him, so basically he's on – you know how, like, when you're playing the old NCAA 14 and you have a redshirt player and you can't – he's on your depth chart, but you can't actually play him?
Yeah.
That's what he is on this. I have him at 87 because he was a beast at USC. Cody Simon, 87, and Kevon Pope at 87. I mean, those three, it was hard. I mean, Terada Mitchell, 88. He's shown flashes, but I don't know how.
I haven't heard anything about Kevon Pope, too. Like,
yeah, I haven't either. I've heard Cody Simon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see. We'll get more into it next week, but, like, I feel like Kevon Pope, he's just a gamer. Like, he doesn't do anything in practice, but then he'll come into the game and have, like, two interceptions. So,
yeah. Middle linebacker, I mean, I just threw these in there. They may not be a middle linebacker, may not be. But Dallas Gant at 89, I've heard some good things about him.
Yeah.
Tommy Eichenberg, 86. Reed Caraccio, 83. They're very high on Reed Caraccio. He's going to end up starting – I think next season, in my opinion. And then Craig Young, I'm going to throw him in this part of the depth chart too, but he's an 86. But I also have him in the depth chart for bullet position. Ronnie Hickman, 86. Court William, 85.
The bullet, I mean, dude, it's like the bullet wasn't even like a real thing a year ago. And now when you look at the bullet, we have Hickman, Craig Young, and Court Williams. Like the bullet is like now – going to be a real position when you think about it, which is nuts.
Yeah. And then corners, Seven Banks and Cam Brown. I have 90 and a 91. 91 for Seven Banks, Cam Brown a 90. This year is huge for Cam Brown because he's coming off that injury. I had legend Kavaeus. Is that how you say his name?
Kavaeus.
I have 88. Ryan Watts, 88. Jakalen Johnson, 84. And yes, you're hearing this right. DeMario McCall, an 83. I've been seeing some of the videos on practice. I bumped his rating up to an 83.
He is, yeah, he's been playing good. You got to give him credit. Like, yep.
I had him at a 79, if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
Slot corner. I know right now a lot of people are saying Marcus Williams is going to be the starter, but I really like Nathan Ransom better. I have him 89, and I have Marcus Williams. I had him at 86, but the way of when he everybody's talking, I bumped him up to an 88. And then Cameron Martinez. I know we haven't heard too much, but I know how good he is. Could be he's an 85 safety. The free safety. Josh Proctor, 94. Jontez Dunn. I think he just lost his black stripe. Have him at 85 and Bryson Shaw at 85 also.
Gotcha.
Kicker, Jake Seiber, 83. Dominic D'Amico, 82. And then the punter, Jesse Mirko, 80. And Michael O'Shaughnessy, 80. I mean, I don't know who our punter is going to be. I think it's going to be the kid from Down Under, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Micro. He's the Aussie.
And yeah, I rated him at 80 because I don't know. Like, so that is my Madden / NCAA ratings. People could come at me all they want. I was just bored, and I thought it would be a pretty cool idea.
I like it. I mean, I think you were pretty spot on with them. I think honestly, if you do look at like Ohio State on NCAA 14, I think that would be pretty accurate, like, because all our guys are like so highly ranked anyway. So like, even our worst guys are like low 80. So I agree, Cass. I think you did a great job. I don't think anyone can complain to you, man.
Okay, that sounds good. I mean, it was fun. It was something fun to do, and yeah, I can't wait for the new game to come out. Whether if it's next year or the year after, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to see, and boy, I can't wait for college football to start. I know we're a week away from Nebraska, Illinois. My thing is, and this is my question posed to you. You remember a couple years ago, they hyped up week zero and it was Miami versus Florida. Man, couldn't they have picked a better week zero game than Nebraska and Illinois?
I don't hate Nebraska, Illinois. I mean, I hate that the biggest game. What I hate is the biggest game of this week is like the first game. It's at like 1 o'clock. They couldn't have gotten us like, it's like Nebraska, Illinois is the only good game. And then like the second best game is like Hawaii, UCLA. They could have done a better job of at least getting it, maybe like another Power Five, game. Like give us like Colorado, UCLA. Give us someone who would actually play each other. Like, I don't really care about like, you know, the San Jose State game. I think UConn plays Fresno State. Like, that's a random game.
I think Notre Dame, Florida State should have been week zero.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think Notre Dame would have went for that.
Or like, give us like USC, Oregon State. Like nothing crazy, but like, that's a game where, like, people are going to watch.
How would you have felt if it was, like, Wisconsin versus Illinois?
About the same as it is Nebraska, Illinois. Maybe it should have been Nebraska, Wisconsin. I think that would have been better.
I would have rather seen a ranked opponent play another opponent, like another, you know, semi-non-ranked opponent. Like, even if it was, like, trying to think, like, if it was like, I don't know, like, it's kind of hard. Like, I think Florida State Notre Dame would have been a perfect example, perfect week zero game. Cincinnati, what about, you could have done Cincinnati week one, Cincinnati Indiana week one. That would have been perfect. I know both teams are ranked, but they're not. If you look at Cincinnati and Indiana, they're not the Ohio States, they're not Notre Dame, they're not Clemson, Alabama, LSU, you know what I mean? I think that would have been – if the schedule makers would have been great. I mean, I know schedules are made in advance, but, like, if the NCAA and ESPN and Fox said, hey, you guys want to switch your conference, non-conference games up? Because at the end of the day, you could non-conference are easier to switch up than conference. You could have done, say, oh, Cincinnati, we'll move the Iowa-Indiana game to week three and move the Indiana-Cincinnati game to week zero.
I mean, what I love about week zero is, though, like, none of these games are ever going to be, like influential on, like, the college football playoff race, but, like, we watch them like it is. Like, a couple years ago when it was Miami-Florida, like, we watched that like it was – you know, that was like the BCS championship game. The even the year before that, when you went to Purdue Northwestern, and that was like a late night game. I was watching that. I was excited. I was jacked up to watch that game. And it's just good to have college football back. It's like the appetizer before the real thing. Week zero, man. I love week zero. My biggest gripe is just add like two more games to the schedule. Like they could literally add two or three more games to that.
You could have had a perfect Nebraska Illinois at 3:30, and then capped off with the night game after that, Florida State Notre Dame. That's just my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Just like that. That would get the fans going.
Not UCLA and Hawaii. Like.
What's weird though? It's like it's not even that late that game. I don't think it. I think it's like at 4:00. It's like that game should be kicking off at 10 p.m. Hold on, let me pull up what time it's kicking off. And it kicks off at 3:30. Like what? Like the late night game is Southern Utah, San Jose State. Now San Jose State's supposed to be good this year too, because they have Starkle.
Isn't UTEP playing too?
UTEP and New Mexico State.
That's 7:30, right?
That's 9:30. So we got the 9:30 and the 10:00 games. It's UTEP, New Mexico State, and then Southern Utah, San Jose State. Those are like our Pac-12 after dark games, basically. We got Nebraska, Illinois, 1:00, Connecticut, Fresno State at 2:00, and then Hawaii, UCLA, 3:30.
Okay. So, yeah, high school football has better matchups than that. I mean, Pickerington Central played Friday night. And think, you know, I'm glad Pickerington Central win because I cover them with Fairfield County Sports. I mean, even my game, Pickerington North beat Lancaster. You know, we had a kid had 22 carries, 120 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I mean, so. But I will have to say this, listeners out there, this Friday night, I'm doing my first play-by-play game in 4 years. I'm kind of nervous about it because I usually just do the analysts. But I want to tackle play-by-play, and I'm doing Amanda Clear Creek at Chillicothe Uniota Friday night at 7:00. We'll be on the red stream on Fairfield County Sports Network. Please go out there and support me. It's going to be a lot of fun trying to do my first play-by-play game in 4 years.
Hell yeah. That's going to be exciting, man. Cass, anything else we got before we wrap this up?
We're under 2 weeks away. I can't wait for college football. I've got my tickets set for Akron, Purdue, and Michigan State. Bought the Blitz package. My wife and I were headed out to Jersey for the Rutgers game this year. So I'm excited. And everybody just, you know, stay healthy, stay blessed, and go Bucks. Enjoy some football as we are now in football season.
I know. We're so close. I'm about to buy my Oregon tickets soon. I can't wait, man. Cass will be there working, but it's, you know, he's not everyone's lucky like that. But as always, thank you for listening to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan with Big Cass. And as always, go Bucks.